We're going to continue to look at the story of Joseph in this series that I've been calling God Sent a Man to Egypt. We're going to look today again, and they're going to put it up on the screen, the last verse that we looked at in chapter 40, verse 23. This, and then we're going to look at some, of, and you'll see up on the screen, it says verse 41. We're just going to look at a couple of verses and maybe a little more, having left off here last week, I thought it was a good up, and then having thought about this sermon all week, and just as I begin to study, it's like the Lord kept me here. So the sermon has a title because I want to talk about how to dealing with disappointment. So I don't know how to write. I never went to school. The degree I got, obviously they didn't. I didn't learn. Anyway, dealing with disappointment. The word disappointment is interesting in that, do you guys see the word appointment? And then there's the word dis in front of it. Is there a way to get a mic instead of this thing? Because it's kind of annoying. Let me see if I can get it close enough. We're going to master this somehow. And if necessary, I just won't have a mic. All right, let's try this one. I'm going to undo it, but it's all taped up. But still, I'm going to undo it. There we go. There's more than one way to skin a cat, right? We'll fix it later. So disappointment, how to deal with disappointment or dealing with disappointment. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to look at it from two different perspectives. Is anyone here, just like our technology, has anyone here ever been disappointed? Good, because then this sermon's for you. Because we can be disappointed because we think we have an appointment, right? We think we have our dreams, our plans, our hopes, right? And sometimes there's events that disappoint us. Sometimes there are people that disappoint us. And basically, those dreams, those hopes, they go unfulfilled, right? No one's ever experienced that. You have to keep in mind that we're talking about Joseph. We already know the story. Do you think he felt disappointed by the fact that his brothers hated him? Do you think he felt disappointed when they conspired to murder him? Do you think he felt disappointed when they threw him in the empty well? Do you think he was disappointed when they sold him as a slave? Do you think he was disappointed when he was riding on the back of a camel on his way to Egypt when his father never arrived to rescue him? Do you think he was disappointed when he was standing on a stage and being auctioned as a slave? And then, you know, there were times when we see him prosper. We saw that in Potiphar's house, his master, the man that had purchased him. And then there's the disappointment of the false accusations made by his wife. Right? I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. Yet he's thrown in prison. You think he was disappointed? Right? And then, it doesn't tell us how long he necessarily he was there, but we do know that when he was in the prison, that an event took place that forced the hand of Joseph in that he had the ability to interpret dreams. Remember the cupbearer and the, the bread maker, right? And then remember he asked the baker to remember him once he had interpreted the dream, and the dreams that he interpreted actually happened exactly like he interpreted them. And then, of course, this is where we're at. It says in, and we'll go to the next slide, it says, the chief cupbearer, I just love how it says, did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So here we have a series from Joseph's viewpoint and his experience, you know, his human experience. Here we have him living not just one disappointment, but a series of them, shattered dreams and hopes, and we find him in a dungeon, and then he gets another setback. Why? What was the setback? The chief cupbearer, who he asked him, hey, when you get back to the Pharaoh, could you mention me? So that's not what happened. Right? I think we can all identify with this. Don't you believe that? In some way, we have setbacks. We have, in this particular case, there are a series of them in his life, but they're always involve people. That's the one catch I see here. Do people disappoint us? You bet they do. Yeah. He forgot him. The cupbearer didn't remember him. People can disappoint us. Go to the next verse, in chapter 41, verse 1. And it tells us that after 2 whole years, I wonder why Moses, when he was writing Genesis under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I wonder why the Holy Spirit put the word whole years. Like, after 2 complete years. And how many days in a year? 365. So after 365 years and then another 360, not years, but days, right? And another 365 days, like 2 whole years. I mean, that sounds like long, doesn't it? He 2 whole years went by, and he's kind of, I bet every time the phone rang, well, it didn't ring in Egypt, but you know what I mean. He was thinking, all right, the chief cupbearer, he's calling to tell me that I'm out. I'm free. Right? He's expecting this person to come through for him, and 2 whole years go by. And something did happen to trigger the 2 whole year part, is that Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. So Pharaoh has a dream that bothers him, that tormented him, is the way the Bible actually puts it. We'll look at that later. But then we have Pharaoh's dream, and then we have this young Hebrew man named Joseph, who is a dream interpreter. Is that coincidence? Is it like, wow, man, I sure got lucky. I mean, it's been 2 whole years, but now the Pharaoh has a dream. And the problem is that no one could interpret the dreams. And they had their magi, their soothsayers in that pagan culture. Nobody could say, hey, this is what it means. And that even made it worse. He was bothered by that. He couldn't find peace. The dreams shook him, but he didn't know what they meant. And that only serves, by mentioning that, it serves the fact that God moves in his time and his way. When we're let down by people or events or circumstances, God has his appointments. And you know what I can tell you about God's appointments? They're never disappointments. So that's my sermon for today. What do you guys think? But I leave that with you. I think I've said enough, right? But okay, I'll keep going because they pay me for more than 10 minutes. Disappointments. People are going to fail us, and people are going to let us down. And that's what I want you to think when you see the word after 2 whole years. And things are going to happen, and expectations are not going to happen. So, you know, we anticipate that people are trustworthy. And, I mean, after all, he had done the cupbearer a favor. I mean, didn't he owe him one? But for some reason, he forgot about him. He didn't remember Joseph. I mean, his life had, he had been reborn, the cupbearer, because of the dream. Right? And so, I think one of the messages that I'd like to communicate with you is that even the best of persons will prove to be a disappointment to us at times. Am I right? Even the best of persons that you know, could be family, it could be friends, could be people at work, I don't know, right? We shouldn't be surprised, correct? Because after all, we in turn fail people ourselves. Or you've never failed or disappointed anybody. Have you, Sarah? Oh, yeah, good thing. I thought I was the only one here. Because I didn't see anyone shaking their head up and down going, yeah, that's right, Pastor. You preach it, Pastor. You go. What this part of the story lets me know is that there are promises that are incomplete. There are projects that we didn't finish. There are dreams unfulfilled. And it leads me to this verse in Jeremiah 17:5, which brings to mind a fact that I think we should know and not forget. And it says, cursed, if we go to the next verse there, yes, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and then here's the key, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. There's nothing wrong with trusting people. There's nothing wrong with going to people for encouragement. Like it says here, depending on someone for like support or strength, right? But there is something wrong when that's all you got. In other words, your heart turns away when God's not first in that area of your life. That's the problem. Because people will disappoint you. Events will let you down. Circumstances will face that we didn't expect or anticipate and we're not ready or prepared for. But the Lord should never be the one that we go to like an afterthought. He should be first. And then we got our friends, and then we got our family, and then we... And I know you, looking to this crowd, I know you got great families, but I would bet that even your families or a family member has let you down, disappointed you, hurt you, offended you, right? Forgotten about you or not considered you. Friends do that. Co-workers for sure, right? So the key here is that if we're relying on other people and our hopes and plans are set with them, then I think what we learn from Joseph and what we learn from Jeremiah 17:5 that you see up there is that your trust is in the wrong place. And your confidence shouldn't be in people, and your confidence shouldn't even be in you. Your confidence should be in the Lord. And I believe that people can be secondary sources or causes for God to work through. He does. But we're not to ever look at them as a completely reliable source. It's only the Lord who can, in 100% way, do the things that we know are best for us. In other words, anything less than putting our confidence in the Lord will lead us to disappointment and pain. You'll always be let down. I mean, the bottom line is we can't trust our government. We are so divided now as a nation as far as red and blue and anything in between. My goodness. Half the nation hates the Supreme Court, but half the nation hates the democratically controlled Congress. And then the Senate is split in half, 50-50. Our president, I don't even want to go there, because half of America loves him and half of America hates him. Nothing different than what it was before him. Half the country hated Trump and the other half loved him. This is a recipe for disaster, because a house divided cannot stand. But what I'm trying to say, though, is as Christians, our trust is not in the government. It's not in systems of this world. 2 whole years passed before anybody came for Joseph. And who knows how much time will pass before anybody comes to rescue you. And that stimulus check, man, that's long gone. And now you got to go back to work and actually earn money and a career. I'm just saying, I took my mom to the hospital this week, not knowing that if she would wake up from anesthesia at her age. And the surgeon was really good. You know what he told me? I've done 6,000 of these. I felt really confident. But I was reminded, when my mom says, hey, if this is the time the Lord's taking me, this is the time the Lord's taking me. I was like, okay. She's got, where's her confidence? In the surgeon or in God? In God. So, I mean, you have to decide where you're going to put your trust and whom you're going to trust. And if you put your trust in people, if you put your trust in circumstances, you're going to be let down and you're going to be disappointed sometimes. Okay? I don't usually like to say too much about politics and stuff up here, but I think I could wade through that and point to Christ above all that. Right? We can't put our trust hardly in anything anymore because people have ulterior motives. They're not really in it for you, is what we're learning. You know, they're in it for them. You know, it could be a curse to read too much beyond what the mass media tells you. It could be a curse because then you learn, you're like, wow. And I'm talking about all sides. But one thing I know is that 2 whole years passed before anybody came for Joseph. But Joseph, I want to know the secret for him. Because everywhere he goes and every disappointment he has to live through and experience and endure, he always comes out ahead. It doesn't mean that while in this world he doesn't suffer. It doesn't mean that while on this journey he doesn't experience injustice. He experienced it like no one. But there was something else happening in his life, and we know what it is. And we've read it already a number of times. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And when the Lord is with Joseph, or when the Lord is with you, it doesn't matter if the economy's in a recession. Because he'll provide for you. He'll find a way for you. It doesn't matter if gas is $6, I think. I think I pay $5.99. Texas is only $4.99. I'm just saying. I was like real happy to fill my parents' car. I was like, woohoo! Back to not quite what it used to be. I'm just saying, we have to understand that Joseph, no doubt, felt bitterness and felt disappointment because of the cupbearer's faulty memory. The cupbearer would have qualified for special education services. I know, because one of the qualifications is short-term memory problems, long-term memory problems. Those are diagnosed. Those are assessed. Some people just don't remember. Well, he didn't. So he would have qualified for an IEP. Right? So how does Joseph go to 2 years waiting and being disappointed? How did he keep his confidence in the Lord? Right? Well, he's our man. And it's one of the reasons why I decided to study and look at the life. And I think what we're learning from the story of Joseph, this man that God sent to Egypt, is that God is the only unfailing one. So I don't know. See, now we're going to turn this to you. Because as a pastor, if I don't make this personal, look at your life and ask yourself, what are my disappointments? Where have my dreams gone unfulfilled? Who has let me down? Who has forgotten me? I have a lot on my mind when if I were to trigger those thoughts. And I can look back in my life and answer those questions very easily. There's a verse in the Bible, I think it's important. Psalms 27. The next one, you guys, if you're back there moving it. Some trust, notice it, in chariots and some in horses. Now, this is talking about military strength. The Psalms. David got into trouble because he counted the armies of the Lord. Whereas the Lord said, don't count them. I don't want you to know how large they are or how small they are. Because it doesn't really matter. Remember when you went up against Goliath, you were like puny. And he was a giant. It wasn't really anything to do with you. Yeah, you knew how to use a slingshot, but even trying to get the stone in between his eyeballs, that was me doing it. Yeah, some people will, we can't trust in the power, whether it's military power or economic power. Some people trust in that. Some people trust in their keen intelligence, and some of you are really smart. But I can promise you this, you will torment yourself if you try to figure everything out, and you won't sleep well, right? There is actually blessing to being ignorant like I am. I just stopped thinking at some point because I don't have the ability to think beyond a certain level. And so I just go to sleep naively and innocently. Look at that guy. He's sleeping right through the middle of the storm. Yeah, whatever. Don't want to hurt my brain thinking too much. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So you don't need to look at statistics and graphs. Let the world do that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with just kind of looking at it, acknowledging that that's what they've been able to, to come up with and try to figure out. But our trust is where? In the Lord. In the Lord. And it appears that to Joseph that even though he may have been forgotten, and he had been, he was not forgotten by the Lord, who was his true master. That's the secret to the story at this point. Right? He was forgotten by the cupbearer. And then something triggered his memory. See how God works? You know how they say, out of sight, out of mind. Joseph, he was back in the palace. Joseph was in the prison. Forgot about him. But something triggered the memory of the cupbearer at just the right time, the right moment. And it happened to be 2 years later. Yeah, he had to be patient during those 2 years. He had to wait. And I said last Sunday, when we kind of touched on this briefly, that I think it's important for us as a church to understand that God's timing is always right. So hang in there. Don't let go of your grip of trust in the Lord. It may seem like an eternity. And these 2 years are just what he had to wait over that particular disappointment. But don't forget, this story goes all the way back to when his brother sold him. And we don't know how many years exactly were there. And in the prison, I read that he was 30 years old when this Pharaoh had this dream. So what age was he when he went down into Egypt, when God sent him to Egypt? 17. How many years is that? Anybody here good at math? 13. 13 years. So what do we do when people forget about us? What do we do when we've taken a few too many blows to the head and a few too many elbows to the ribs, you know, in this race called life? Who do we turn to when we're weary and tired and we feel like, you know what, this disappointment is one of those where I just don't want to take another step? Am I the only one that's been there? No. Right? What do we do? I think what we should do is go back to the Word of God. Go back to God's promises. One of the things that I have learned in my life, and I would pray that you have too, is that when you find yourself in a situation that's disappointing, when you've been let down, when you don't, when you're just tired of it, is to go back to God's Word. And I literally take passages like Isaiah 40, which we're going to see up on the screen, verses 28 through 31, and I literally open my Bible and I literally pray the prayer. This, I pray the Word. You know, what? You do what? I read and it says, God, this is your Word. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. You wrote it for your people. So this is what I want. This, have you not known? Well, I do know, Lord. And I have a conversation with God's Word, with God. You're weird. Thank you. You could try the other option that I've been talking about. Trust in people and trust in the system and, you know, go for it. But you're going to live disappointed and let down. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. I mean, just that particular section here that we just read, he's forever. That says something. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. He's the one who stands over time and space and snapped his finger and from nothing leapt all the universe. You don't think he can handle your health problems? You don't think he can figure out how you can pay your mortgage? Or the gas? I mean, sometimes we just need to stop and think who it is we serve. He says, he does not faint or grow weary. You may be tired. You may feel like giving up. And it says, his understanding is unsearchable. Well, if that's true, I don't need to figure things out. I need to do what I can do and what I'm responsible for. And so do you. But his understanding is unsearchable. We can't figure it out. And it goes all the way back to my favorite verse, which I can quote to you real quick because it fits in perfectly. It in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So he does not grow Or he does not faint nor grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. So if you are weak, ask him for strength. So you could be doing this, like reading it and meditating on it, and then praying over this. Because that's why it's there. Or you could be reading something else. Go for it. You'll find it. You'll be disappointed. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary. So this isn't something just for old people when they get tired and they're weary. It's for young people too. And young men shall feel exhausted. But listen to this, because didn't we just read a moment ago, I'm going to flip back and look at it, that 2 whole years had passed before anybody came to Joseph. Then this verse shows up, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Promise from the Word of God. Amen? So what we know is that Joseph waited on the Lord. He was patient. You know what patience is? It's an interesting, I came up with my own definition. It's the ability to endure. Patience. It's that when you're tried, like you're in a trial when you're tried, or it's triedness. And a lot of people think that when you're patient, that you're not doing anything. A lot of people say, oh, that's weakness. I'm a go-getter. I'm gonna take the bull by the horns. And I'm gonna step into my boots or pull my, something about the bootstraps. Now, you're gonna be, do you know what it is, George? How that goes with the bootstraps? Pull myself up by my bootstraps, that's it. I knew it'd take a while. I never told you I'm not as smart as some of you. Think about it for a minute. We have this endurance, this triedness, this period where we're just being tried, but we aggressively do nothing. Well, you have to be aggressive to do nothing because you want to do something, but you know that there are times where you have to wait on whom? The Lord. So you passionately trust Him and you wait for Him to open the doors and to bring about the promise. So Joseph was patient. There's a little verse in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that says, and it's only really the first part of verse 11, but I love it. Referring to the Lord, it says, He has made everything beautiful. When? It's in the verse. In its time. You know, you can't rush a harvest. I bought some peaches out in Texas, and man, they're different than here. They're big, nice, and juicy. But some of them were hard. It's really funny. I did bite into one, and it was sour and no good. So I put it in a little plastic bag and stuck it back, just so, you know, since I bit into it. And then I just let them sit there and a couple days went by, and oh my goodness, they were so good and tasty. Man. And what did I have to do? Just wait. Be patient. Because He, the Lord, has made everything beautiful in its time. There's a season for everything. And what we do have to acknowledge is that we just can't rush things sometimes because God's working a plan and a purpose that has to fit His timeline. And when He does appear or when He does begin to bring about the thing we're waiting for, it's going to be perfect. So I pray all the time, Lord, give me patience, but hurry up. That's His human nature, right? But we know, and I think we acknowledge, that He knows what's best. I will say this. There are some things in which the Lord may not fulfill in your life. So you will have to wait for eternity. Oh, come on, Pastor, man, that was a great sermon until then. There's a verse in Hebrews 11:13. I don't know if you want to read it with me. I'll read it to you. These all died in faith. This is referring to the Old Testament saints. These all died in faith. In other words, they're waiting for, let's just use Abraham as an example. Abraham did not see the fulfillment of the one who would be born that would bless all the nations of the world, Jesus, his descendant. He never saw him. He waited for him. He believed God for him, but he never saw him. It says, these all died. It's not just Abraham. It's if you go to chapter 11 of Hebrews, you'll find the the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Fame of Faith, is what I like to call it. They died not having received the things promised. Oh, man. Bummer. They died not having received the things promised. But having seen them, like from afar off in the future, and greeted them from afar. In other words, they acknowledged that God was faithful, so they received the promises even though they were in the future, in spite of the fact that they didn't actually physically experience the promise being fulfilled. They saw them, having seen them, and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. What does that mean? They weren't going to see it here on this life, but they would see it fulfilled in eternity. It's like that parent who prays for their child. Let me write this down. Sorry. I want to keep this note. For instance, that parent who prays for the child so that they would be saved, but they choose not, you know, they're raised in a Christian home, but they don't want to be. They choose not to be. And they pray all their lives, and then they pass away, never have seen it, that being accomplished in this life. Do you think God just forgets their prayers? Like, oh, well, too bad. Yep, time out. No good. Not going to happen. No, that's not what happens. See, eternity weighs way more than time and space. There is no comparison. Reality is actually more real in heaven than here. This is temporary. All this will burn away. What I'm trying to say is, that person, if and when God moves in the life of the one he prayed for, we'll see it accomplished from heaven. You see, it's called posthumous blessings. Oh, God, that sounds kind of airy, Pastor. I was going to say, dudes, we serve a God of all eternity. If he chooses to answer our prayers after we're gone, we're still going to see him just from over there. And we're going to spend all eternity with those that respond to the message of salvation that we prayed for. See, this life is really just kind of like probation. What decisions we make here impact our all eternity. And so, these died in faith. They did not receive the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar off, from the past, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. Well, if they're strangers and exile here on earth, where are they from? Their citizenship and our citizenship is in heaven. We are children of a heavenly kingdom that will last forever. So this tells us that it's true that the saints of old did not receive the things promised, and some of us will have to wait until we get to heaven to receive what God promised. You know that? It makes a difference. So the lesson here then is that Joseph, in his patience, in his endurance, in his ability to be able to trust God when it seemed like nothing was going his way, when his days were dark, and it appeared that it was just the same old, same old. I like to say that. The daily routine, it just same old thing, just a different day. Nothing has changed. There's no possibility of change, right? Everything is dark and confusion. There's confusion, right? However, he understood that everything was working into conformity to what God's purposes was for his life. Because we go all the way back to the original verse that started this series, and that is that all things work together for good for those that love him and have been called according to his purposes. So basically, I said all that up to this point to tell you, hang in there. That's it. I wanted to just say, hang in there. Right? And that's how we face disappointments. It's only temporary. You know, it's kind of like when you go, it's going to be a dumb example, but oh well. When you get off the airplane and you need to go to the restroom, and then there's a lady in the cleaning, and she puts up those yellow things that say wet floor, and then she's in there cleaning, and you're like, it seems like an eternity, right? Yeah, but you rush in, and you might slip, and then who knows what would happen. Like, an avalanche of things will happen to you. You'd slip, hit your head. Next thing you know, you've been rolling out. You're rolling out on the 911 call. You're in the ambulance, and you're saying, but all I wanted to do was get in the bathroom ahead of time. And I didn't. No, let's be patient. Amen? God will not let us down. He will not forget us. One of the criticisms by Jesus to the Jews was that they weren't ready for the day of his visitation when he came in his first coming. They did not recognize that he was the one that they had been waiting for. Let's not get bogged down and distracted by the things of this life. Let's just focus on God's faithfulness. Let's just focus on God's love for us, on his providential care for us. In spite of what you're going through, just keep your eyes on the Lord. You know why? Because that's what Joseph showed us, and it worked. So God bless you guys. Thank you for your patience with all this stuff going on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can take from Joseph these little lessons that end up being rather large, especially, Lord, if and when we have disappointment and letdowns in our life. We know, Lord, that you're never going to forget us. We know, Lord, that you're going to move in at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. So help us to endure. Help us to be patient, because that's what trusting you means. You're not going to let us down. And for that, we're thankful, and we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.